This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Karen Russell is a writer who just loves the outdoors. And her best-known book, Swamplandia, was set in the Everglades. It's about a family of alligator wrestlers at an alligator wrestling theme park. Russell is a native of South Florida, and the state has shaped her very particular and fantastical view of the world. But a few years back, she met a man at a writer's conference in Portland, Oregon. She visited him for the summer and never went back. And that's where we found Karen Russell recently, in Portland, where she took us on a walk through Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge.
I live about maybe 15-minute walk from here, and I come here. There was a period where I came here every single day, and it's one of my favorite places. When we were looking for houses, I discovered it. We hadn't really been up this way, and I went on a jog, and it just felt like Narnia or something. I mean, it's pretty industrial up this way. So you sort of go from a grittier area, and then there was just this green parentheses that opened up, and it feels like the true woods. And it's really surprising to sort of turn off Southeast Milwaukee and find yourself in this like envelope of what I still think of as the real woods. I grew up in Miami, Florida. We have amazing ecosystems down there, but you know, we don't really have Doug firs and maples and sort of the tremendous woods of the West. So I think this still feels very storybook to me, you know, as a Floridian to come into this kind of forest. I mentioned it's not enormous, it's 144 acres, but it feels enormous. So right now you can't even see the street anymore. And if you could see what I'm looking at, I mean, Portland's totally erased basically. There's just every kind of green all around us. There's just these felled giants of these old trees. they look like kind of Fraggle Rock meets Dr. Seuss. You know, there's sort of like a Jim Henson quality to them because they're all wearing this fabulous shag of moss.
Yeah, and he describes how
contributing to the fairy tale dimension of this walk is the fact that many Portlanders have waist-length beards. The first time that I went on a jog in Oaks Bottom, I didn't know any of this was here, and I went on when I had always just kind of gone straight down the trail, and then I kind of turned off. I hadn't even seen this path. Now we're going over what looks like this fairy drawbridge that obviously a troll is sometimes under. I mean, it just feels like a little bit you get like the old Hansel and Gretel panic or something where you're like, wait, maybe I should proceed with caution now. No, we don't know what's on the other side of this bridge. You really get the sense that the crows are telling you you're trespassing. They're not being impolite about it, but they just want you to know. So now we're walking towards this vast lake that is kind of adjacent to the Willamette, And this is the first moment where you can see, like a hallucination, this Ferris wheel through the trees. There's a really flat meadow, and so you have kind of a clear sight line to the Ferris wheel at Oaks Amusement Park. And the first time I saw this, it was such a shock. I really just doubted the evidence of my senses, you know? Now we've got a cool green musky smell in Wapato Pond, which is just looks like some of the swampier places that I loved when I was growing up. Everything's kind of sunken and watery. Oh my gosh. Is that a nutria or a beaver? We've got just the sweet furry head of a nutria doing donuts in the water below our bridge. Wow. Looking like a piece of bark that just swam to life. A lot of my early work, my first story collection and my first novel, Swamplandia, were set in the wetlands of South Florida. I grew up near a mangrove estuary and would just like muck around for hours. Just thousands of hours as a kid I spent climbing mangroves and wading around. And I think what is so attractive to me as a writer about this kind of space is it feels uncanny in the best way. It feels like Freud's uncanny. And as you see, you know, from this walk we've just taken and from this vista that we're looking out at, it is almost impossible to say where the land ends and where the water begins or which is which. And there's something about that sort of liminal, slippery place that is so exciting to me. You can hear them, right? You can hear the kids on this pirate ship. this metronome on the skyline full of tiny human bodies. Look, we did it. There it is. Okay, this is very exciting because we just walked out of the woods. It feels like it ends pretty abruptly. And now there's this meadow and we're coming up towards the entrance of the amusement park. This is an analogy that will only work for some, but I think if you've ever had a psychedelic experience where the palate can change really dramatically over the course of like a relatively brief period of time, now we're out of like the dark green intense period and things are starting to normalize. This is more like the matte color of consensus reality again. So we're sitting on a picnic bench. The miniature choo-choo is doing donuts around us, and you can see kind of the river sparkling through the trees. And our backs are to like what looks like the spine of a giant dragon, this roller coaster. People are carrying these towering ice cream cones around. So I love amusement parks. I keep writing about them. Oaks Park feels a little homespun to me in that way. There's nothing sort of aggressively modern or commercial about it. But I think, yeah, amusement parks, it's humanity at its best. Everybody comes here looking to have a good time, and we've made all of these machines that are like anti-capitalist in a funny way. I mean, they're like go nowhere machines, like do nothing machines. Just plug your body into this machine, and this, far from being like a factory assembly line, it's just a wheel of joy, you know? You're just gonna pulse adrenaline through your body and remember that you're lucky to be alive.
Karen Russell at Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge and the Oaks Amusement Park on the Willamette River. Russell's brand new book of short stories is called Orange World.